Father God, we declare those things to be true. You are the way maker. You are the miracle worker. You are the promise keeper. You are the light in the darkness. That is who you are. And as we stand here as witness to that, having experienced that, we say thank you. We declare your spirit over this place and in our lives, God. We desire that you would become more and more real. You would help us to see more and more clearly who you are and what you are doing and what you are inviting us into. So God, as we turn to your word this morning, we ask that you would speak, that you would show us who you are a little more clearly, that we can love you a little more deeply and share you a little more fully with the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team, for leading us to that place this morning. Powerful things for us to be declaring together. To sing those things together. Well, as we begin, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read the passage again, outlining the armor of God for us here. And see the things that God has in store for us today. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 10. It says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." Paul is in chains, in prison. And what is his prayer? Freedom, protection, safety or comfort. "Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel." The call of God should be the prayer of our hearts, and the prayer of our hearts should be that all can know that Jesus is Lord and he has set them free. Do we pray like Paul is asking us to pray? Do we desire to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel? God's word is true and his promises are sure, and he is inviting us to know him and make him known. Amen? Amen. God is good and he is here. Well, this morning we're going to be continuing our series that we've been looking at this summer, looking at the armor of God, these promises and these tools that God has given to us to use on our journey with him to carry out his mission in the world, to bring the hope and the light of Jesus into the lives of the people around us, walking with God in the light of his Spirit and in step with his call. Last week, again, we had the chance to worship out at the Stone Barn, and it was an awesome day together. It's a day of worship and fellowship and wonderful weather and great food and just enjoying God's creation together. But It's also, as we said last week, a chance to step outside of our normal space here together and remember who it is we serve and what it is that we're really about. That God's mission is not contained within the walls of a building, but it is in the hearts of the people. In this place, in this city that He has planted, this church, that in each house, in each home, there are people that He loves so much that He sent His one and only Son to die for them, that their sins can be washed away and they can live an eternal life with Him, forgiven and free, filled with that inexpressible and glorious joy that the Scriptures describe, filled with life in the Spirit together with Him, all of us living in relationship with God. It's an incredible picture that He paints for us, an incredible promise, an incredible purpose that we have. And it's something that we strive to fulfill every day. It's right there in our mission statement that we have on our walls, walking intimately with God and inviting others to journey with us. It's our call, bringing people along on that journey and sharing with them the love that the Spirit has given to us. It's a journey and a mission filled with joy and life as we get to see people experience forgiveness and freedom and new life in Jesus. Have you seen it? Have you seen that happen? What was it like? What did you see in that person's life when they responded to the call of Jesus? I can't count the number of times that I have been blessed and privileged to witness the work of God in someone's life, turning a life that was filled with selfishness and anger and fear and hurt, and seeing them come to life with peace and joy and patience and kindness. It's overwhelming to watch, to see the Spirit work in someone's life like that. I've seen it happen in the person's life that you'd think it was impossible. They were so far from God. They were lost in their addiction or their greed or abuse, lost in themselves or in something else. And you see them come alive when they surrender to Jesus. And you realize that they were no further from God than I ever was, because God was right with them the whole time. They didn't have to walk a journey of 1,000 miles to find Him. They just had to get on their knees in prayer and surrender before Him, lay their lives at His feet, just like me, still, every day. What a gift it is to walk with Jesus, to see Him work in the lives of others, and even more, to be invited by Him to be a part of that work. That we get to share His love, His message of hope and forgiveness. That we get to extend His grace to people that don't deserve it, that might not appreciate it, that might reject it. Because who else needs that grace extended but someone who has sinned just like me? So we get to walk with Jesus as He does His work and work with Him as He works in us, and experience the joy of the Spirit as we see Him bring life to what was dead. It's truly wonderful to walk with Jesus. But as we do that, He knows that this journey is difficult as well. And so He has not left us exposed, but has given us gifts, tools to protect and equip us on this road, that we as His beloved children can know the love and care of our Father, the protection of our Creator as we walk this path with Him. And so we've been looking at this equipment this summer, this armor of God. The different pieces that Paul describes to us in this passage. First, the belt of truth. That Jesus is the truth. And as we surround ourselves with Him, as we buckle that truth around our waist, we are protected from the lies of the world and of our own hearts, and can live in the truth of who Jesus is and who He says we are. What He says is right. What He says is good. We looked at the breastplate of righteousness, that again, it is Jesus, that He gives us His righteousness to cover our unrighteousness. And again, to protect us from the lies of the evil one in the world around us and our own hearts that tell us that we're not good enough, that we're not enough, that God can't love us, that our righteousness fails, but it is His righteousness given to us, not ours, that covers and protects and equips us to go forward, to carry His love out into the world. Powerful tools, incredible gifts, gifts that we need to take, that we need to equip, that we need to put on. And now this week we come to this third piece, those gospel shoes. He says, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. First couple of pieces that Paul talked about were protective pieces. The belt holds our armor together and it hangs the sword. The breastplate protects our body. But in this third piece, Paul reveals here his heart behind this passage of Scripture, that God's call for the church is not to be protected, to preserve itself and focus on survival. The purpose of the church and our call as followers of Jesus is to go. Put on your belt, put on your breastplate, put on these shoes so that you can go. The call of the church is to action out in the world, not in and behind these walls. And we gather in worship, and we gather for care, and we gather for growth and discipleship, and for just the joy of being together. It is good to be together with God's people. But this is not the mission and the purpose of the church, is to gather. Our mission and purpose exists in every part of our lives, in every moment, wherever we live, wherever we work, wherever we move, sharing the hope and the glory of God, sharing the gospel wherever we are, all the time. And so as we are equipped to follow God and His mission in the world, He calls us to put on our shoes and follow Him. We've said it before here many times, but what's the one thing you have to do if you want to call yourself a follower of Jesus? You have to actually follow Him. You have to move. Jesus is not sitting still. He is moving and working in the world, and if we are following Him, we will be moving too. Following Him, walking with Him wherever He leads. Well, look at the way that Paul phrases this verse. He phrases this in such an interesting way. He says, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. What a fascinating way to say that. He doesn't say the shoes of the gospel or with your feet fitted with the gospel. He says, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The gospel isn't what's being given here. That's not the piece of equipment here. Because the gospel is all the rest of the pieces. The belt of truth, the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done. The breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus given to us. The shield of faith, the faith we receive when we put our trust in Jesus. The helmet of salvation, the very gift of forgiveness and new life that we receive in relationship with Jesus. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the gift of the Spirit and the Word that we have received and that we preach. The gospel is all the rest of the armor. It's everything that covers us and fills us and equips us. It is the gift of Jesus and his sacrifice given to us. And so here should be the result of all of that. That if we have received the gospel, if we have accepted the forgiveness of Jesus, and if we truly walk in this new life, then we should be compelled by that same gospel to go and to tell others. John Piper, a famous American preacher and author, puts it this way. He says, our gospel joy is authentic and satisfying only if we desire to taste this joy in the hearts of other people. Our gospel joy is authentic and satisfying only if we desire to taste this joy in the hearts of other people. Our feet are not fitted with the gospel, but with the readiness that comes from it. The impulse, the hunger we feel to share this joy and this message of hope with others. If we believe what we say we believe, and if we have received what we say we have received, how can we but go and tell everyone? Is there new life in us by the Spirit? If our spirit is not then bursting at the seams to share this joy. Another translation, the New Revised Standard Version, has an amazing way of translating this verse. It says, as shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. And I just love the urgency of that. The hurried feeling of that. It's like trying to get my own kids out the door when we're in a rush to get somewhere. We're late. And there's that mountain of shoes by the back door and they're trying to find the right ones. And it's just put something on. Whatever will make you ready, let's go. And Paul here in that translation is almost standing in your entryway with his hand on the doorknob, looking at you. What do you need? Just put something on. Let's go. People need to hear about this. People need to know what Jesus has done for them. What are you waiting for? If we are living in the light of the gospel, we should be filled with a desire to run and to share with anyone and everyone what God has done for us, what we have experienced in him and what he has done for them. Because that has always been God's mission for his people. Through the whole of the story of Scripture, God's call to his people has been to share who he is and what he is doing. The mission and ministry of the Israelites was to make God known among the people. The mission and ministry of Jesus himself was to make his Father known, his grace and love known among the people. The mission and ministry of the disciples and of the early church was to make God known among the people. I wonder what he wants us to do. Jesus said it over and over and over again. Matthew chapter 5, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Luke chapter 24, repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Matthew 9, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the fields. John chapter 4, do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. God's call to his people has always been to go and share his word. And as the apostles followed his example and Jesus built his church, that call continued through them as well to every corner of the world. 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the word, he said. Be ready in season and out of season. Rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. 2 Corinthians 5, we looked at it last week. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God himself were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. 1 Corinthians 9, for if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Romans 10, how then will they call on him if they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of who they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? That it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Where did Paul get this piece of armor from? It was right out of Scripture, right out of Isaiah 52, as he is quoting there in Romans. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. God is here in the Old Testament speaking this same idea through to his people, through this prophet, proclaiming how he loves to see his people running to share his love and his truth with others. That their feet, quickened with the good news, are beautiful to him. As we bring good news, as we proclaim peace, as we bring good tidings, as we proclaim salvation, as we declare our God reigns. This is the call of God for his people. It is a call to go and share the gospel of peace. That light has come into the world. And the Messiah has brought us peace, peace to us all. The Romans Road is something I learned growing up, this old gospel way of walking through the story of salvation, through the book of Romans. And it reminds us of all that Jesus has done and this gospel that should make our feet ready. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5, 8, but God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10, 9, therefore, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10, 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We are saved by the blood and the resurrection of Jesus. And if that doesn't fill us with a joy that overflows and fills us with a passion to share it with others, how can we say we have known Jesus? The love and the grace of God is only fully known when it is shared with others. So let's grab our shoes and let's go. This morning we have the opportunity to walk through communion together, to be reminded of those verses in Romans that we just read, of what the gospel truly is. These symbols that remind us of the blood that was shed and the body that was broken for our sins, taking on the sins not just of us, but of the whole world, that all who would call on the name of the Lord can and will be saved. So as we are here this morning, we want to walk through this together. We invite you, if you are a guest with us, you are welcome to join us here. This isn't the table of LFC, this is the table of Christ, of His sacrifice for us. If you have not given your life to Jesus and this is unfamiliar to you, we invite you just to observe and see the transformation that has happened in the lives of the people around you. We invite you to come and pray. We've got some folks who would love to pray with you after the service and talk with you, if that's something that you want to explore. But if you are new or newer with us here, you'll see that we have a number of stations set up around the room. And we'd invite you to come as you feel led. We're going to play some music, and I'm going to pray for us and give us some space. And come as you feel led to the crosses here. You can take the elements, take them to your seat, and you can spend some time in prayer and take them as you feel led. We'd invite you to come with friends or family. Communion is a communal thing. But if you have some work you need to do as an individual, you're welcome to come as an individual and take those pieces as well. Allow God to speak to you. Allow God to remind you of the depth of His love for you, and then the depth of His love for the people around you, your friends and neighbors, coworkers, teammates. And let Him fill you with that passion, with that joy that overflows, that you cannot but help sharing it with them too. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to take a moment here to walk through this together. Father God, we come before you this morning, and we say again, thank you. We thank you for the gift of your Son, for the love and the sacrifice of Jesus, that He was willing to come and be born as a human baby, to live among us, to show us what a human life was supposed to be, the joy of living in complete connection and submission to His Father. We thank you, Father, that He was willing to take our place, to take our sins upon Himself, to go willingly to the cross, to die and shed His blood and allow His body to be broken, taking the punishment we could never pay. We thank you for raising Him to life again, overcoming sin and death, and providing for us the opportunity to know life, eternal, abundant, joyful, Spirit-filled life. Father, help us to see and know what you have done. Fill us with that fire to share what you have done. Give us a boldness and a confidence. Let us share it with grace and love and humility. But we want that fire. We want to know the love of Jesus so deeply that we cannot but let it overflow. We ask that you'd speak and move in this place this morning as we do this now. In Jesus' name, amen. We invite you to come as you feel led. If you're not able to make your way to one of the crosses, chair of our elder board, Ed, will love to bring them to you. You can just flag him down, but take this time as you feel led.